And our next guest, State Senator Joe Markley, representative of the 16th District, Cheshire, Prospect, Southington, Wilcott, and Waterbury. Senator, good morning, good morning.
Good morning to you. Pleasure to be here with you both in this historic setting.
The pleasure is ours. Senator Markley in the Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair. What do you hope the governor says today in his budget address?
He should say, I've been wrong about everything so far. I'm stepping down.
He's not going to say that, though.
No, I don't think so. You know, I feel like the man has been behind the disaster curve in Connecticut the whole time I've been back in the legislature. Each year he seems to get more of a sense of just how bad our situation is. And if he were talking in 2011, like he's talking now, I might have some confidence in our ability to pull out of it. But he's coming up with solutions that, to my mind, are way beyond where our situation is. And, of course, what he's apparently going to talk about today is let's push the burden back onto the towns and cities. And it's irresponsible. We have to deal with our problems ourselves. And to push it off to the towns is simply to say, we can't get our spending under control, so we're going to force you to raise taxes.
What do you think would happen in those towns and cities that you just referred to?
Well, they'll have to raise the property taxes, and dramatically.
The property taxes.
Of course. There's nothing else for them to tax on. And there's much discussion about giving municipalities other taxing authority. The trouble is, raising taxes, increasing revenue, is not our problem in Connecticut. Our problem is getting spending under control. And that will only happen when we say no to taxes, when we take taxes off the table. Brad, I can't be here sitting with you and not think about our rally 25 years ago, just a few yards from where we're sitting right now. That was a turning point in Connecticut history. And it put us on a road of spending that has practically destroyed this state. And the only answer is to say, you're not getting any more revenue. You've got to prioritize and learn to live on what you have.
Now, let's take a look at this proposal by the governor to have municipalities underwrite the teachers' pension fund by one-third. What I find fascinating, Senator Markley, is a judge comes out and rules we're not spending enough on education, this, that, and the other thing. Well, that is an expenditure on education, and that's not factored into the equation, right?
Well, that's right. And, you know, this idea of having the municipalities pick up a part of it, in a vacuum, it might not be a bad idea. If we were back in 1932 or whenever the pension was set up, it might have made sense to say, yes, the cost should be shared between the states and the towns. But that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it because the state's out of money and it's just trying to push a certain amount of its expenses onto the towns. And that, combined with the new formula that the governor is going to put in place, which is going to favor the cities at the expense of the towns, means that Hartford may benefit, but the Southingtons of the world and Wethersfield and Cromwell and West Hartford are going to be hit extremely hard if the governor's program comes through. I tend to agree with the House leadership. I think Vinnie Candelora said he thinks that this proposal of the governor's is going to be dead on arrival, and I tend to agree with it. I don't see any way we can shift such a burden onto the municipalities.
Is the governor, do you think, with his budget address today, essentially shifting the burden on the legislature to say, look, if this is the best I could do, you come up with a plan?
Yes, I've always suspected that that was a possibility, that the governor would present us with something unpalatable. And he'd say, I've done my job, I've given you a direction, if you don't like it, you figure it out. And I suspect what's going to happen is we're going to go into a long period of negotiation. A frustration up here, gentlemen, is there's what happens visibly, the Appropriations Committee process, hearings and subcommittees and all this work, and yet the real deal is made in a back room between the governor's people and the legislative leadership. That this time, I presume, will include some Republican leaders. But in any case, we're not really likely to know what the proposal is until very close to the end of session in June.
You know, Senator Markley, one of the things that bothers our listeners, and we hear from them all the time, is the spending. And now you have a proposal by the governor that he wants to fix the Civic Center. How can you possibly propose that in the millions, okay, at this time when we are in such a crisis, and we are in a crisis.
I don't know what he's thinking. I suppose he's thinking, I'm beholden to these cities. The margin of his election, governor twice, was dependent on the cities. And this is what the city wants. It wants this $250 million. And that's just a piece of how much it's going to cost. Even their own estimates, they still have land acquisition and property acquisition that they haven't figured into that. $250 million on a facility that we then have to subsidize $3 or $4 million a year. It just doesn't make sense. It's like saying, my the roof on my house is leaking, but I think I'm going to go fix the deck. We can live without the Civic Center. I don't say that it isn't a benefit in certain ways. I've enjoyed it myself. I remember seeing you do a rock show there back in 1987.
You remember that
very well. Hey, you know, it's funny. If you grow up in Connecticut, Brad Davis is just part of one's personal life, from the TV and the radio and the shows and everything else. I remember it well. I think, wow, that's Brad Davis. Anyways, it's the trouble is we can't be sentimental about it, Brad. We've got to say we're broke. We don't have the money. We can't do this. And look for another solution. This is one of the things. We won't take things off the table. I feel like we got to say, let's take taxes off the table and then figure out what our problem is. Let's take state money off the table and figure out what to do with the Civic Center. And let's see if there's somebody out in the private sector that can make a go of it somehow.
All right. We'll pick up on that point in just a moment as we are broadcasting our budget program, our AARP Connecticut budget broadcast live from the state capitol.
7:47, 13 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. And, you know, Dan, it is amazing, all of the various folks that we've had with us so far. And it is all talked about is the spending and the taxes. And that's what we hear on our radio program every day.
Absolutely. Senator Markley with us, Republican 16th District, which includes Cheshire, Prospect, Southington, Wolcott, Waterbury. A lot of communities there, Senator.
You know, it's a good thing about the Senate. It's about 100,000 people in a Senate district, and it means that you tend to represent a diverse part of the state. You, generally speaking, the districts aren't all urban or all rural. They're kind of a mix. And I feel like I have, from between Prospect on one hand and Waterbury on the other, I have kind of a cross-section of Connecticut.
Where would you cut the budget? What would you do?
Well, I'd say there's three things we've got to do. There's certain things we've got to look at and say we simply can't afford that. And the Civic Center renovation is that kind of project. We just can't do it at all, and we've got to get that kind of thing off the table. Then there's things that I think can be seriously scaled back. I've talked a lot about the Board of Regents for Higher Education. To my mind, it's a purely bureaucratic function of government that costs us something in the range of $20 or $30 million in the central office. We've got to find those throughout the state. And then at a certain point, you go back to the agencies and say, we're going to expect the managers of those agencies, the commissioners, to find savings. And I don't know that it's an across-the-board cut. It may be that public safety you don't want to lean on as heavy as you might want to lean on arts and tourism, for instance. But to go back and expect those administrators to make savings is what you do in a corporation. If we were a corporation losing money, you would expect the board of directors to go out and say, you need to find 7%, you need to find 3%. I think that's the direction we've got to go in. Unfortunately, every year that we don't do it, the job gets that much more difficult.
Do you think you have the folks here now with the Republican increase that can be done?
Well, 18-18 in the Senate. So if they don't do it, I think you'd have 18 Republicans voting no, and they'd have to pass a budget purely on Democratic votes with the lieutenant governor stepping in to break the tie.
Okay,
and
hold that thought. We're
yes.
coming up on a hard break, as they say in radio, so we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with Senator Joe Markley. Mayor Bronin of Hartford joins us after the 8 o'clock news. Time for Your Money Now.
7:52 in the morning. Well, Dan, you know, you and I have talked and talked about what are we going to get at the Capitol. And I think that we are getting exactly what we thought was going to happen.
Absolutely, Brad. Mayor Bronin joins us after the 8 o'clock news in the Touch Points Rehab interview chair right now, Senator Joe Markley. All right, Senator, this is a two-year budget that's being proposed by the governor, and we're looking at a deficit over a two-year period of almost $3 billion. But let's look at the first year of the budget, where we hear it could be in deficit by $1.7 billion. Could you sit down and come up with a budget that cuts $1.7 billion without affecting core services.
Dan, I got to say, personally, I could not do it. And this is one of the reasons, one of the difficulties about being in the legislature is, one is very dependent on the governor's office and the administration for the information that you need to know what you're doing. Now, I'm now co-chair of the Human Services Committee. I've always served on that committee. And as a result, I have a kind of oversight over departments that have thousands of employees. But I'm not an administrator. I can't walk in there and say, these 12 people here are not necessary, or this employee is no good, let's get rid of them. To some extent, we have to depend on the executive branch. And before the break, I said, if we were running a business, the board of directors would come out and give direction. I really feel like the legislature is effectively in the position of a board of directors. It's not a day-to-day oversight group, administrative group. It's a group that tries to set priorities, and then the executive branch has to put those into place. And I feel like to make this work, really, we need a partnership between the legislature and the executive branch, and we need a common vision. And my vision, again, is, we, number one, we can't keep raising taxes. We can't keep going to the taxpayers of Connecticut and asking them to give us more money. We have to solve this problem ourselves, but we need both the legislature and the governor to commit to that. And then together, I think we can find the savings that we need to get out of the budget. It is part of a process, too, in appropriations, to look at the whole budget, to divide it up into subcommittees and take it piece by piece. That's the way to do it, not to do it in a back room someplace.
You know, one of the things that I hear all the time, and I've told this to Dan, and I'm sure he hears it, too, when I go out to speak, is that the folks that are elected have the right ideas, but then somebody stops them from getting those ideas passed. I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, you know, one thing I'd say, Brad, and again, this harkens back a little bit to our anti-income tax days. There's a kind of a groupthink tendency up here at the Capitol. I felt during that income tax fight, in which all the powers of the state were in favor of the income tax, and all the people of the state were against it, that up here at the Capitol, the notion kind of was, we understand better. We know this has to happen. The people don't get it. And it's rather hard to resist that when you've got a lot of people in very expensive suits, people that sometimes have very well-paid jobs and degrees, that are saying to a legislator, a legislator frequently is a real estate agent, a retired teacher, a middle-class person with no particular expertise, and you have these experts saying, this is the answer, this is the direction to go in, and it's hard to stand up and say, no, I don't agree with you, I agree with the people. And I think that's what legislators, if they need one thing, they need nerve. They need to be able to stick up for what they got.
You know, it's disturbing, though, Senator, in that income tax fight. And as we all know, the public, the vast majority of the public was riled up, opposed to it. And yet, outside of one candidate, nobody paid a political price at the polls.
Oh, there were some others, and there were a lot of people who retired after that election who didn't face the voters again. One of the problems we had was people that were running, and Democrats, obviously, Republicans, some Republicans supported us as well, but it was mostly passed with Democratic votes. And Democrats, a legislator would retire, and the new person came in and said, hey, I didn't vote for that, I'm against it. And then you can't really beat them. So the other trouble is, to have the organization statewide, which we really never have had politically. We had excitement, but we didn't have organization. We didn't have the money or the time to really organize it.
But it's different now.
I hope it's different now. We've got to just fight all the time on it, though.
Well, one of the ways to make it different is a state constitutional convention, and I know you've been pursuing that. Talk about that.
Well, you know, Dan, complete honesty, I'd say I'm not necessarily pursuing it, but I'm interested in it. What we're talking about is what's known as a convention of the states, where the state legislatures themselves call a convention to propose amendments to the United States Constitution, which then come back to the state legislatures.
Right.
It's never been done. It's a provision in Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution. It's a way to get around Congress if Congress isn't being responsive. And it's being taken very seriously right now. People that are promoting it would like to see a balanced budget amendment or term limits. And Representative Rob Sampson and I went down to Virginia to a mock convention a few months ago, and because of the interest, we're going to have a forum tomorrow night at 5:30, weather permitting, in the legislative office building. So anyone who's interested in this idea can come join us tomorrow, and you can find out more information on it at my website, which is senatormarkley.com.
So this would be a convocation of state legislatures, and essentially they would be invoking an article of the Constitution in order to get some of this instituted into the United States Constitution.
The legislatures have to pass a resolution calling for the convention, and we need it requires 37 out of the 50 state legislatures. Delegates would then be selected to go to the convention, much like what happened in Philadelphia 230 years ago. And those delegates, who cannot be members of Congress, incidentally, would then propose amendments, as many as they want, and send them back to the states.